From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, the legacy of Brittany Maynard, who took her life to end a battle with cancer.
But first, the midterm elections are tomorrow. Dozens of Senate seats are up for grabs with several tightly contested races. Also, as usual, every single House seat is up for grabs, but the GOP is expected to hold on to control of the House. And the conventional wisdom is that the GOP will also make some gains in the Senate and perhaps take control of that chamber. NPR's senior Washington editor Ron Elving is with us now. And Ron, what are you going to be watching heading into tomorrow?
Jeremy, the first thing we'll be watching is the result that comes in from New Hampshire and North Carolina. Here we have a couple of incumbent women Democratic senators who are holding off powerful challengers who are Republican men. And if those women prevail, the Democrats have a shot of holding on to their control of the Senate. If they should both fall behind, if they should both lose, then it looks like it's going to be a Republican night.
And you're talking there about Kay Hagan in North Carolina running against Tom Tillis, and in New Hampshire, Jean Shaheen running against the former Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown. We've also been watching Kentucky, Ron, where the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell already seems to be planning a new role as Majority Leader if he wins his race against Allison Grimes. Here he is speaking in Louisville earlier today.
We could have, for the second time in our history, the Majority Leader of the Senate setting the agenda for America and taking us in a new direction.
And here is his Democratic challenger, Allison Grimes, who said this of her opponent yesterday.
We are ready to send a message that Washington just isn't working. And Mitch McConnell, you are out of touch, you are out of time, and come November 4th, you're going to be fired. We got a new hire.
Ron, what's going on with that race right now? Because it does look from recent polls that McConnell is starting to pull ahead.
Yes, it does. And Mitch McConnell there, I believe, was referring when he said the second time in our history. He's talking about Kentucky history. They had the majority leader of the Senate 75, 80 years ago back in the World War II era, Alvin Barkley. Of course, he was a Democrat. And Mitch McConnell, of course, is planning to take the Republican position and take the Senate in that direction. That race appears to have moved out of the range of toss-up where it's been for most of the last 6 months. It was always kind of a long shot. Mitch McConnell's numbers are not good in Kentucky, but President Obama's numbers are even worse. And he has managed to make this a referendum on the president and particularly on the White House policies towards coal. And that, of course, is terribly important in Kentucky.
And if Republicans do take the Senate and Mitch McConnell becomes the Senate Majority Leader, who is likely to have power in that party? Is it, because we have seen these struggles between the more moderate wing of the GOP and the Tea Party conservative wing. Who's going to have power in the Senate and in the House?
In both chambers, we're going to see a struggle between the people we consider to be essentially the leadership or the establishment Republicans, sometimes called centrists, although many of them would not be considered centrists on any national spectrum, and the people who, within their own party, would like to pursue a more aggressive anti-Obama agenda and a more conservative one. You could say their two goals are one, show we're going to be the governing party, that we're ready to have full control of Washington again. And number two, show that they're ready to pull the country in a more conservative direction. So some of their people are going to be pushing for the former primarily, and mostly that would be the leadership. They're going to be saying, we've got to make some deals here with the White House, get some things done, get some legislation passed, straighten out the fiscal situation, and show the country in 2016 we're ready to be the governing party. And at the same time, you're going to have a lot of people, including a lot of senators who are running for president, taking a much more aggressive posture and saying, we really need to show a stronger alternative to the Democrats and take the country where we think it ought to go.
And what about Democrats? If Democrats retain control of the Senate, what happens then?
The Democrats would be delighted, of course, to retain control of the Senate and be able to continue to confirm more and more judges. The president has lots of judges lined up, ready to go to fill vacancies. There would also be the prospect of filling more appointments to the administration. There's going to be a new attorney general named very shortly, and they would like to have the power to continue to do that for the president. Of course, that would also give them the opportunity to continue wrangling with the House and trying to get the president's priorities in the fiscal area with respect to budgets and so on, appropriations, to prevail. We would see something of the kind of struggle we've seen the last 4 years.
Ron, in addition to the Senate and the House being up for grabs, there are also a number of fascinating governor's races around the country. What are you expecting tomorrow on that front? Is there going to be a sweep? Are each of these races just individual races that have nothing to do with one another?
To a great degree, the states are quite different from each other, so that you see in some of the largest states, such as New York, California, Texas, very little contention over who's going to control the governorship there. It's going to stay in the hands of the incumbent party. But in Pennsylvania, you see a Republican governor being thrown out. And in Florida, you see a Republican governor in a very tight race against Charlie Crist, who used to be the governor when he was a Republican. Now he is running as a Democrat. And that is a very close race and a tough one to call. So you have a mixed bag across the country in which neither party clearly predominates, primarily because while the national mood may have been set from Washington by Democrats, by President Obama, state by state, you had a lot of states elect a Republican governor in 2010. They have almost three-fifths of the governorships as a result of that election. So incumbency can be a double-edged sword. If things are going well in that state, it's a plus. And those states where people are unhappy, the governor can be in the bullseye.
Ron, on Friday we spoke with Mark Halperin of Bloomberg, and I asked him what the biggest surprise has been for him during this election cycle. And he said it's that there's nobody out there talking about job creation, that that would be the obvious thing to talk about. And that doesn't seem to be playing huge in any of these races. What's been the biggest surprise for you?
You know, it's interesting. In 2006, when George W. Bush had a shellacking, as he called it, and lost control of the House and Senate, his good economic numbers of that day did not seem to help him against the national mood, which was more about Iraq and Katrina and so on. And something similar to that is happening now to President Obama. Unemployment is down under 6%. Many aspects of the economy are doing much better than expected, or certainly better than they were when he became president. And yet that narrative is being driven completely off of the map by Ebola, ISIS, and other concerns of that kind.
NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Ron, thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.